This is the Alan and Carly podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, Carly. We're going to keep this pretty tight. We had a couple of interviews we're doing after the show today.
Yes.
So with that in mind, let me take a look at your alpha bucks for Friday. Just getting this up here. Here we are. Okay. So your letter on Friday is H for hotel, Carly.
Okay.
There's a bit of a thinker, but I think people will relatively get it. Okay. This one you won't get if you don't have kids. You might have to think harder about this. Starting with the letter H, Carly, name me a schoolyard game.
Handball.
Perfect. I don't even know what handball is.
What? Handball? That was huge. You never played handball?
I don't know. What is handball? Which one's
it's
handball?
It's like where you literally draw the lines and you have to, it's literally.
I always draw a line.
It's like you get a tennis ball and you have to kind of get it over the line. It can only bounce once.
I saw Auntie Donna do this. Did you not have this in WA? No, we might have, but not my
school. Handball was big in my school. Nah. In fact, we had handball tournaments and it got so big that the teachers actually had to
step in as refs. Kevin Rudd played.
Yes.
Yeah. I never played. I mean, it probably was big, but we never played. We had rackets to hit balls with.
No, we had to use our hands over there.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, wow. Mm. No, we played basketball and stuff. We didn't.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry. But handball, great game.
What else was there?
Handball and something else, hopscotch.
Oh, hopscotch.
Yeah, hopscotch
was
great.
Jeez, that was good. You know, I was just chatting with my friend last night who's got kids and they're battling with the screen time thing.
Yep.
And it's funny, we were talking about how when we were kids, like that just wasn't even a debate. Like, so he has to kill the whole internet to get them off screen time and then they have a whole big tantrum and all that. And I was like, it's so funny because you had one computer. It was in like a area of the house that everyone could see.
Yep.
And if someone, and it just, it never crossed your thought to really spend much time on it.
No, but we had the issue with TV. That was the big thing for our generation.
We had four channels.
Yeah, but it was still like kids glued to the bloody TV, get outside. Like, it was
ABC
the whole thing.
Afternoon TV Absolutely. Was prime. But it never stopped us from going outside.
No, it did. It did. Like, you were really? An active kid. Absolutely. Yeah, I know plenty of nerds that never
Actually,
went outside.
No, it was like my mum would be like, okay, I've had enough. All right, outside time, kids.
Yeah, but that's because your mum was good. Like, some parents would just be like, yeah, that's fine. They can just sit there and watch TV all day.
Mm. And remember, like, having to come home when it got dark?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And you know what? There's a couple of kids that play outside around the corner from me every day. They're the only kids, but every day they're out there kicking a ball. They've
Love
got a
that.
Hoop in the front. Like, it's actually so refreshing to see.
That's good. Although it is in your dangerous neighborhood, so it makes me concerned they're going to probably do some stealing or something.
I don't know if they're playing or keeping a lookout. I don't know.
A bit of both. Enjoy the podcast.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
I want to cast our attention to a story about a world record. Now, this stumbled across my desk yesterday, Carly.
Yeah.
I followed the Guinness World Records Facebook page. I shared a random video to you guys as well, noticing we're not talking about that on the story, when it was a woman breaking the record for the most amount of people she could lift and then drop in a minute.
I totally saw that and watched that video.
I watched it and I was like, oh, is that a new kink unlocked? I don't know. But anyway, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about something that when I first saw the story, I went, is this something I should hold off and do it for Fake Fast Facts tomorrow, where that's the segment where we each tell a fact, one of us are lying, and we try to trick people with some unbelievable facts.
Yeah.
And I went, no, the story itself needs to be told. So, this is a story of a person who achieved a world record by being thrown 1,307 feet by a tornado and surviving.
This is wild.
He did the whole thing while being half naked. Amazing. So there's Matt, and he was living with his grandmother in a trailer, because classic America, and that trailer ended up being engulfed by a tornado. While he was trying to close the window to try and keep safe, he got sucked up by the tornado, a Category 2, Carly.
Now, I have questions. I don't mean to be a naysayer, but
as
a radio host, one thing you'll get asked to do at least once in your career is to try and break a world record.
Yep.
And then you'll quickly learn that it is A, very long and expensive process, and B, very, very hard to prove.
Yes.
You need adjudicators. They have to be from the official place. They have to see things, measure things. You know, it has to be verified by people. So I just wonder, who verified this?
All right, so there was a couple of people. His dad was the person that suggested to him he goes and applies for the world record after it all happened. Because here's the thing about what Matt experienced. nothing. He doesn't remember a damn thing as he was once again thrown 1,307 feet.
Did they get
feet.
The tape measure out? Did they ask him to stay there? Did they take a photo? Was there a video?
So one of the bits of evidence they had is when the physician said the injuries or lack thereof supported the notion that he had been lifted into the sky rather than blown across the ground, which would have resulted in the body surface abrasions and contusions is the word. And so basically saying due to his lack of injury, it all kind of checked out that he was airborne for once again, 1,307 feet.
So what you're telling me, Alan, is if I sit on my couch in my undies, I have a better chance of actually winning a world record for something mm-hmm. than actually trying to stick 100 post-it notes to my face in under a minute.
Absolutely. You know, maybe do it in Texas or where there's famously a lot of tornadoes that go through.
Oh, yeah, Yeah.
Yeah. And
Broome?
Also, yeah, well, I don't know. Karratha and Headland have got one coming. Karratha and Headland, yeah. Maybe a Category 2 they're expecting by the weekend.
That's not going to lift you far, is it? Cat 2?
No, this is called an F2. I don't know what. I feel like that's the same kind of thing, right? They're saying it has the same power to rip roofs off houses and lift cars off the ground and throw a person almost 400
meters. Well, anyway, we wouldn't recommend it.
No.
Because the world record's already been set anyway.
Unless
guys.
You can squeeze out like 405 meters, then you beat him. But you're right, Carly, you do need evidence. So maybe set up a little GoPro or something, I don't know.
What if the GoPro goes up with you?
Well, no, that's proof. That can go with you. Just like hang on to it, I guess. And
don't lose the GoPro, that's the takeaway.
Yeah, and don't be unconscious while it happens as well, like Matt did. Amazing story, but
a lot of takeaways.
And he did it all while in his boxer shorts.
Wow.
Geez, you'd hope they're tight. A lot of things are flapping about. Anyway. Your breakfast, Alan and Carly.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Behold! As Alan predicts, your pet's name.
God, I need this. 131060, we're going to get a caller on right now. That caller has a pet. The pet has a name. And I'm going to try and predict what the name of that pet is. Today, we go to Belly in Denmark. Hello, Belly.
Good morning, crew. How's everyone there this morning?
We're well. Look, I'll be honest, I feel the pressure.
There's a bit of pressure on you. Bit of pressure today, mate. Did you get my clue?
What was the clue?
Oh.
There's a clue?
I sent a clue through yesterday. I'll give it to you now if you like.
Can I
Two
take
words?
A clue?
You know what? You need all the help you can get at this point, Alan.
Okay, I'll take your clue. Belly, what do you got for
all
me?
All right. Two dogs' names are words.
Okay, now wait a second. Plot twist,
true.
Belly. There's two dogs.
Three dogs.
Now, this is a numbers game.
That's not helpful at all.
So, wait. Statistically, Alan, if you go for three dogs, statistically, you've got more of a chance. I like this, Belly.
But aren't I just naming one of them? Doesn't he have one in mind?
Do you want all three names or do you just want one of the three?
I feel like I'm aiming for a moving target.
One of the three. If he could get it.
There you go. I think the odds are in your favour.
Not really.
Not that you need them.
I'm going for one dog name.
Yeah, but it could be one of three.
Oh my God, that's not helpful. I don't think you know how this works, Carly. All right, let's go with the three questions before I throw five names. Belly, first question, what is the first letter of your dog's name?
Letter of all three dogs' names, it's the letter M.
See, there you go, Alan.
M. Wait, am I going for a threefer? All right. Describe what their fur looks and feels like.
Okie dokes. Short haired, two dogs. Mm-hmm. Long hair, one dog. Okay. Very soft, fluffy, and when it's rolling in cow poo, not very nice at all.
Oh, farm dogs. Okay.
Farm dogs.
Okay. Interesting. I'm learning a lot more. I'm actually getting a few vibes that are coming
also,
to me right
Belly,
now.
Also, Belly, I am so jealous. Three dogs. Do you have to get council approval on that, or?
Sure did, mate. Yeah, one to rescue.
Oh, cute.
Okay, I'm always in the market.
Okay, last question. What is their favourite treat?
Oh, I'd have to say a nice, good old frozen bone on a hot day.
Oh,
there you go. All right, I'm now getting names coming to me. Okay. All right, here we go. The names came really quick to me this week. I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign.
Oh, my God, Alan, I'm feeling good about this.
I'm not. Here we go. Number one, and of course, if I don't get it right, Carly's going to come in with the steal. Number one classic dog name, Max.
Not really close, but nowhere near it.
Nowhere near it.
Okay, wow.
Mac.
No, sorry, mate.
Marley.
No, way off. Oh.
Okay. I'm going to take a different tactic. Milo.
Milo?
Yeah.
Well, what a damn good name for a dog, but not mine.
Wow, Alan, wow. Now take your time if you need be.
I've got one guess left.
And you've got three dogs here.
Remember, I did give you a clue, and it is a genuine clue.
It's a word.
It's a word.
What a terrible clue. I'm going to go Molly.
Molly, sorry, mate. Miles away.
Oh, damn. All right, well,
I'll tell you what, you got it right in the first letter anyway.
All right, let's do this.
Carly has a crack.
Now, Belly, I had one name that clearly stuck out to me, but then you just threw me off the scent because you said it was miles away, and I was like, ooh, is there a clue in that?
But miles. Okay, interesting.
And then I was like, it just sparked something in me. A little jolt went through my body.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to put the name aside that I had written on the paper, and I am going to assume, Belly, that that was a sign and that you have a dog called Miles.
Jesus, you're bloody not good enough.
It's not Missy, is it?
No.
Oh, okay.
What is the name of your dog's Belly?
Achy dates. The first dog, 3-year-old Red Cloud Kelpie. Mika, M-E-E-K-A, means moon in Indigenous language.
Okay. All right. Mika, what's another one?
Yeah. Next one is Minya, means small or little in Indigenous language.
Okay, yep. And the last name?
Is our male dog, rescue dog, Mauser.
I was never getting these.
You were never You're going never to get them, unfortunately, Belly. Alan.
Belly, look, I'm not going to tell you to go listen to another radio show, but you need to learn a lesson. So for 15 minutes, I need you to go away, and then you can come back and think about what you've done, Belly, okay?
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Oh, he cheers us.
Oh, that means he goes in the draw to win the coffee prize, mate.
Yes, gotcha.
Oh, no.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Alan, Clive Palmer has announced big news this morning. Finally. After more than a decade after announcing his plan to build a replica of the world's very, infamous.
And famous.
Ship, the Titanic 2. We're being given a bit of an update. Now,
yes.
I've actually been waiting for this update.
Your entire life.
Back in 2019, Alan, I got invited. This is when I was living in Cairns. I got invited to one of the weirdest things I've ever been invited to, which was an invitation. And I got invited because I was working in radio there. So they invited a lot of media to go to what was the launch of the Titanic 2. Now, there wasn't a lot of details, but it came in the form of what looked like a ticket to the Titanic.
Okay, cool.
Now, my interest was piqued. Now, I've said I would go to the opening of an envelope on
That's
this
true.
Show. So it doesn't take much, but I was really looking forward to this one. So Russ and I, you know, we dressed up for this. And let me tell you, Clive Palmer splashed the cash, right? So it was
splash, yeah.
Held at this beautiful resort. It was a sit-down dinner. So we had these, like, exclusive menus. Everything had Titanic 2 engraved on it. They had recreated the menu that they actually ate on the Titanic for this dinner. Like, it was fancy. It was
lavish.
I heard
it was the first class menu, not the... You know,
yeah, we weren't eating steerage, that's
no,
for
no,
sure.
No, no.
That's for what people in the back corner. But what was interesting, so all of a sudden, halfway through the event, people just started going, what is this? Because halfway through, people just started popping up randomly off tables wearing life jackets and then just bust into a musical number. And we're like, what is going on here? They had made the room look like the ship.
Okay.
Now, what everyone was waiting for at the event.
In this evening!
I was loving it. The food was right. But what everyone was waiting for was kind of the launch of it. Like, where are we going to see it? How can we buy tickets?
Give me some dates.
And so Clive gets up and does this big speech, but doesn't give any details, and everything's very secretive,
okay,
right?
Cool.
It was really weird. So I was sitting on the table with media and a lot of journos. So they're like, well, you know, because he's you know, fronted all this money and put on this thing for us. We've got to do our job and, you know, ask him more questions about this.
Yeah.
And so they went over to interview him. He said, no, I'm not taking any questions on it. We're like, what are we doing here? It was so bizarre. And all he had was a tiny replica, which looked Lego-like, in a glass case and just unveiled that. It honestly felt like we were being pranked and were in a movie. Wow. So after the event, weirdly, they stopped me and Russell to do a piece to camera about the event. And what we didn't realize is that behind us, as we were giving our feelings and thoughts on the night and the Titanic 2, that Clive Palmer was standing directly behind us, and this is what we said.
Renegade businessman Clive Palmer's announced Titanic 2 will visit Cairns and Townsville on its maiden voyage. In an evening that can only be described as bizarre, the larger-than-life political hopeful last night hosted a four-course dinner for 200 people in Cairns.
Forget unthinkable. It's the project many have deemed completely unthinkable.
To be honest, I thought it was a bit of a joke. It's one of those seeing is believing situations.
I think it's an interesting concept, and I hope it works out better than the first one.
Russell with the gear. Oh, your husband is amazing. So good.
So, yeah, weirdly,
that was 2019.
And guys, we're still available for comment.
Why does it sound like it was recorded in 2010? At least.
I didn't know what year it was by the end of that night. Honestly, it was the weirdest thing. But the update is apparently still coming.
Yeah, he's going to get it made. I saw him. He was on the news last night talking all things about it.
It's still going ahead. I mean, I'm not pre-buying that ticket, that's for sure.
No, I'm good. But hey, power to him. He's got the money to do it. So, you know.
He certainly has. I don't know if he's got any money left after that lavish dinner.
Are you going to talk about the fork you stole from the event?
Alan, stop.
Okay. You're in it.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
From 131060, we're talking all things about the big car tax. Should we see a version of it here in WA? Any excuse to play this banger?
Yeah, because people buying those bigger SUV vehicles just in the last year alone has gone up like 78%. So we're seeing bigger vehicles than what we're typically used to on our roads. So other states are starting to look at things like a possible parking fee hike for larger vehicles.
Interesting.
And also potentially a bigger car tax on our roads. And we're asking on 131060, do you think the WA should be imposing bigger car tax?
Yeah, let's kick it off. Kevin in Katanning, your thoughts on it, mate?
Yeah, I mean, it's just another attack on people with money that want to have something.
That's
and
true.
Also, we've been dealing with big vehicles forever. I mean, look at the service vans. Look at the width of caravans. Look at the width of trucks, buses. We've already got big vehicles and we've been living with them for years.
You're not wrong just about the caravan thing. We drove one for the solar eclipse. And I remember driving that when I was in Perth, driving on the freeway there and being like, God, I'm only just in the lanes. I don't like this at all, Kevin.
And the other thing is, no one's mentioned the weight of the battery cars. I mean, those battery cars are getting up to about 3 tonne. Well, some of these bigger vehicles don't weigh that. I mean, we really are just trying to attack anybody that wants anything. And our country is a big country, and we've got long distances to traverse, and we're getting all this European regulations pushed us on here in Australia. It's wrong. I mean, someone needs to counteract this with some real facts instead of just constantly attacking people who want bigger cars.
Do we need bigger car bays for the cars, Kevin?
Oh, I agree with that. They are for that. But as far as on the road, they're no bigger and wider than any other thing that we've had on the roads for the last 100 years.
My little Honda Jazz would disagree with you. Let's go to Damien in Kirrup. What do you reckon, Damo? Do you think that we need to impose a bigger car tax?
No, we definitely don't need that tax. Just like that other person before you, he was right on the ball. You know, we've been living with these vehicles and so forth forever. And, you know, some of the local shops are actually starting to wake up of it now, like my local IGA. We've figured bays here, and we've even got bays set aside just for caravan and trailers.
Yeah, okay. Mm. So bigger bays is probably the best option then, as opposed to a tax, Damien.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Even the bays we've got for the small cars is ridiculous. You know, you get out of them and be careful you don't knock the car next to you. You should be able to get out, swing your door right open, and not have to worry about hitting the car next to you.
That's so true. As a big guy, I can relate. there's been many awkward sidewalk shuffle for me.
No, I definitely see your point, Demo, but we're kind of in a weird crossroads here, right? So the bigger vehicles are already here. They're already being driven. But unfortunately, we just haven't quite yet made the space for them. Like, there are select few places around the state that do have those bigger bays, but sometimes I've seen them have to take up two bays.
I'm sorry. What does the 2002 Britney Spears movie have to do with this?
And you'd normally find out those places where they take those two bays are up or in the city where it is those prestige people are driving the vehicles for the prestige, not for the need of them.
Spot on. Yeah, let's come for the city. I like it. Let's row to Smelly Jeans Brian. Good to be chatting to him again. How are you, mate?
How you going, guys?
Doing well. Your thoughts on taxing the big cars, mate?
Stuff them.
So what I'm getting is people don't want to be paying extra taxes. Interesting.
It's a weird choice.
I'm buying one, funny enough, and most of this is driven by people who think every time you start one of those up, you kill a baby seal.
Well, I hope not.
Jeez, I hope it's just a key ignition.
Otherwise, driving's going to become a very emotional experience for me.
A brand new, like a Z1, the Chevy, the F-250s, talking over $200,000.
Yeah.
And a 6.8 diesel V8.
We're losing you. Sorry, Smelly Jeans, Brian. Hopefully that new car has a better Bluetooth headset.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
And something else I'm loving at the moment is the journey that I am currently on with my wife for our upcoming child arrival. Late July is the due date. And with that comes through all the different steps you have to go through, like scans.
Yes. And you're up to what scan, Alan?
20-week scan.
So is this your second one?
Third.
Third?
So the first scan, I think, was like, I might be wrong. I want to say 12 weeks. Might be less than that.
What's a scan set you back? Don't you have to pay?
Yeah. So there's public ones, and then there's like, so this version was like a private one. Yeah, I'll never financially recover, to answer your question.
Well, yeah, because I remember my friend, she wanted like this really cool high-tech one. She had to pay a whole bunch.
Yeah, this was this is what the obstetrician told us to do. We're just doing what they tell us to do. I'm not looking for like photos on the wall or anything, but yeah, we had to do this one. But I remember the first one, it looks like a little like bean essentially. And they're like, there's the baby. And it's like got a heartbeat. And they go, yep, there it is. But it looks like a little blob. It's like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, my God. And then I wasn't ready for the next scan after that is where like the baby has like details and stuff. And I was expecting to see
details.
Well, I was expecting to see a bigger blob.
Tall, dark, handsome.
Absolutely. And so then all of a sudden it's like, there's a hand. There's a leg. Oh my goodness, that's clearly a baby. And so this time around I was like, all right, I'm ready to see an actual baby. And I was not disappointed because there was an actual baby. They're like pointing things out like, oh, there's the lips. You can see it's
a
tongue. Now,
when they got to certain areas, were they specifying anything like girl, boy? Like,
oh, yeah. They knew what it was. Absolutely, yeah. But you don't. No need for you to know, Carly. Once again, there are a few people floating around.
I'm going to be the godparent, so I should know.
There's a few people floating around Broome and Geraldton at the moment that do know the sex of the child.
I'm currently trying to track them down.
Because loose lips sink ships, and that ship is sunk, according to those people, because I'll tell anyone but you.
Is that 1060?
And producer Shelby. She doesn't know either, to be fair.
She is wearing a blue top today. Interesting.
Is there a sign in that? But the moment that I thought was kind of funny is, so I had to look up what the role's called, like that actually worked the ultrasound machine. A sonographer. Sonographer, that's the word.
Yeah.
I didn't know her full name. I just called her Dawn.
Sonny.
Dawn, because that was her name that was doing it.
Yeah.
Lovely lady, but
it great name.
Dawn, great name.
Going to use her?
Maybe Dawnette for a boy. So she's doing the scan, and there was so many moments where I couldn't tell who she was talking to. Me, Julia, my wife, or the baby. So she's sitting there and she's scanning. She goes, oh, yeah, just, you're looking great. Just get you to move a little bit there. And so I look at Julia. I'm like, am I in the way? Does Julia need to move? Is the baby need to move? She goes, oh, yeah, no, you're fine.
Can you tell a baby to move? Like, can they hear you in there?
I think she was willing it, if I'm being honest. And so she just kept doing this. The boy, oh, you're so precious. And I'm like, well, that's for me, obviously.
Obviously.
And then there's other moments I'm like, oh, are you tired? I'm like, actually, yeah, a little bit. Like, you know, I've been up early. She's like, oh, no, that was talking to the baby. I'm like, oh, my mistake. She's like, oh, someone needs to pee. I went, that must be obviously for Julia, you know, full bladder maybe doing the scan. That was for me.
How? So they can tell if your bladder's full from this thing?
She just guessed for me because I was probably moving a little bit in my chair. But yeah, it was very confusing. I didn't know who she was talking to
the
whole time.
So all's well with the bub?
I hope so. We don't know. We obviously, you hope. We've got a meeting with the obstetrician today.
Yeah.
So ultrasound people, they're like poker players. They don't tell you anything because they're not meant to. They just kind of do all the scan stuff and they send off to that and then they tell you.
Now, did you get a little like anything, like a little signal from the baby? You know, sometimes, you know, those ones that go viral when they're like sticking their finger up or throwing the peace sign or picking their nose, anything like that?
Nah, very well reserved child at this point.
Crossing the legs?
Yeah, it was kicking the legs a bit. Yeah.
Just being a baby.
The tongue was poked out at one point, we were told, but I couldn't really see it. You know, they go like, oh, look, there's the tongue. I'm like, is it? I'm like squinting, like, I don't know. And they're like, yeah, it's a tongue. I'm like, okay.
Sounds like you had a poker face too.
Well, I didn't know. I had no idea what was happening the whole time. So, yeah, anyway, it's pretty exciting.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
A little bit unnerving for Julia. There's a whole human moving around inside her.
That's what I was thinking the whole time. I was just like, geez, this is pretty incredible. You got like a whole human growing inside you right now. Meanwhile, I've got like that lunch I'm still digesting and I'm having issues. It's pretty incredible stuff. Yeah. And I'm not going to tell you the sex of the child in case you're wondering. Did I give anything away there, by the way? I feel like I
didn't. No, because I was like hanging on every word.
Oh, boy. I guess next time.
I got no poker face.
Oh, boy.
Alan? Is it?
No. Or is it?
I don't know. You know. I don't know. Why are you asking me?
That was the Alan and Carly podcast. This is it.